Whatever. Where voices, topics, and legendary stories come together, where I can get you connected. Switching to line one.
It's video time, kids.
Thank you for tuning in. I'm super stoked you got to hear from these legends. Jake Blauvelt, John Jackson, Ika Backstrom. Man, so many stories. Stay tuned. Episode 8 is going to be just as fire. This episode is brought to you by BYOB, Be Your Own Banker. I got a personal story. I was looking for a safe place to park my cash, be able to invest responsibly. Chris and his team had the answer. Visit BeYourOwnBanker.com.
Also brought to you by PMC, Private Money Club. There are only two types of people in the world, people with money and people who need money. There's only one community that solves both problems. PrivateMoneyClub.com is the only dating site for money.
Yep. Yo, what's up? Stevie Bell. Welcome to the Switchboard Podcast, Season 1, Forum Chronicles. I want to just say thank you to our sponsors, but I've got my boys. I got Jake Blauvelt, Ika Backstrom, and now we got John Jay on the line. So let's get into it, boys. You ready?
Ready.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. Ika, can you tell us a little bit about your journey? Because I know you're from Finland. And, you know, we had Yoni and Laurie on, or like, you know, a couple episodes, but tell me how you got into snowboarding and then how you got introduced to Forum and a little bit about your journey.
Yeah, growing up in Finland, not much else to do in the wintertime, the snowboard, or ski or whatever. Ski wasn't never really into, like, I was not really down with the ski boots, and I saw, like, people snowboarding, and they look super cool to me. We'd go on ski vacations in the winter time, so I definitely wanted to try that. My brother got into it, and then I tried, failed, but got it pretty big time. And then I would skate in the summertime. Then eventually started doing contests for literally like no reason. I had no chance. Doing well in any of them, but and I got like introduced to this squad with Lowry and Era and all those guys, and started riding with them, and got a lot better with them, and then finally started getting
that,
a little.
Was that Etelä or was that Niemelä?
Niemelä, but I kind of grew up with Etelä as well. Like me and him kind of started riding with these dudes, and but they're riding at a different resort. Started getting little results. I got in a Finnish like national team. We did a half pipe team, and I eventually got sponsored, started riding for some brands, and then I don't know how Forum really came about. I think I was approached by Peter to ride for Genius. I think that's what happened, and I jumped on that. I figured it was like a dope opportunity, and then that movie came along and they wanted me and Eddie to join the movie, but they wanted us to just switch to Forum completely, and that's kind of how it happened.
That messed up. Were you part of the Finnish Mafia, by the way?
Finnish Mafia?
Yeah, that was Yoni told us all about the Finnish Mafia, so I was just wondering if you were part of that crew.
I don't know. Finnish Mafia. It might have been a little bit before me. I probably ended up Mafia.
Hell yeah. All right, Blauvelt, tell us a little bit about your story, man. Like, tell us your journey. Yeah. I know you're from Vermont, but
right.
I mean, yeah, like, let us know.
Let's see. Yeah, I'm in similar to Ika, like doing the contest circuit here on the East Coast. And I started riding for Burton maybe when I was like 14 or so. Burton and Oakley, just doing like flow program, nothing crazy. And then Dan McNamara was always like a Forum rep here on the East Coast, I think, for as long as I could remember. But then he got promoted, him and Andy Pignatora got promoted to like I don't know what their role was, but they were one of the more head ups at Forum out in SoCal. And they kind of passed along the good word, like, yo, maybe hook up this kid. And so they offered, Forum offered me to come on board. And at that time, I was watching like True Life, Resistance. Those were like my favorite videos. And so to have the opportunity to jump on with like my favorite team and like be sponsored by Forum, that was like dream come true. So I was like, yeah, no brainer. And so I hopped on with Forum, got on as like one of the young bloods with Pat Moore and all the other young bloods. And so I think like one of my first like legit video parts or shots in a video was in Video Gangs, I believe. I had a couple quick young blood clips in there. But yeah, that was kind of how it started for me. Getting on Forum was like Dan Mack passed along the good word, and I jumped ship from Burton to Forum, and then it all ended up being at Burton, Burton taking over. So it all kind of came full circle. And then when that happened, I kind of dipped out afterwards, but there was a good chunk in between where we had like my most memorable times on a board. Traveling with like with Cole and John Jay and Ika and all the rest of the team, like up in Wiss especially. I remember like driving into Wiss with Cole one year, first time we had ever been up there, and just being like, dude, this is where you film full video parts in the winter. You just stay put here and film. And so yeah, that's kind of how it started for me.
Oh yeah. John Jay, I'm gonna get to you in a second, but I wanna ask you, Blavel, do you remember it was my very, I think the only one that never did contests or ever was part of the Youngbloods. I just got thrown into the fire and got my ass burnt. I went from like just filming one video part and only snowboarding 2 years to being on the pro team. But do you remember when like we met Sonora Pass? It was me, you, and Heine. Yeah. And you were just, I'll never forget this, bro. You were just landing whatever the fuck you wanted to.
Okay.
I remember you cab nine off this step down. Like in backside, you were just doing whatever you wanted to, and I was just getting my ass kicked the whole time. Oh
shit, I do.
You remember that?
Remember that? Yeah,
dude.
And did we hit that massive step up too? Was that one of the days? It was like a step back one. I did maybe not. Yeah, I don't think.
No, so but there was like a pat down. You did a cab nine on, and then there was another one like across the valley, like over here. You did like a couple tricks on. And the whole time I'm just fucking up your landings and you're just stomping shit. Literally. Like that's all I did all day was fuck up all your landings.
That's all good. It all worked out. Yeah.
Fucking up Bob Elk's landings. He can land anything.
That was the first time, like in retrospect, because I was just like, dude, like I don't even know why I'm on this team. Like, right. This is insane, you know?
But I remember like that first year was tough, but then you like put in the work and you started stomping shit and getting into a good groove in the years ahead. But yeah, it was like a rough first year. You were thrown into the lion's pit like right away, but you did well.
Bro, I got my asshole eaten by the lions, man. So all right, John Jay. Yo, I know you've got a long journey and a long history in snowboarding, man, and you're still fucking crushing it. Some of the shit you still put out is fucking absurd, but tell us a little bit about your beginning, man, and then, like, your journey to get on Forum.
Yeah. You know, it has been so long, like you say, so I kind of have trouble recollecting exactly what dates, you know, where different sponsor changes happen, but I think I got on Forum in like 2007. Blavel, when was Videograss? What year was that?
Right. I do feel like it was like maybe 07 or 08. That sounds about right. When we were on the symbol boards, right? Forum symbol. And we were on that board, that line together, and you had your graphic and I had my graphic in the symbol series, right?
Those were sick.
And
those
that was your first
ice boards.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I think that was like mid 2007s or something like that, or late 2007. But yeah, I grew up in Mammoth. I was just like, you know,
little mountain rat
that loved being in the mountains. Used to ski. My mom would just drop us off at the mountain, and then snowboarding came around, and I was just like, oh man, this is it. Like enough of this racing Gates for Chile. You know, we used to like.
Wait a minute, you raced Gates?
Yeah, back in the day, but not like not seriously. You know, I'm racing for like Stag Chile and stuff like that. yeah, just as a Grom, like super small. And then snowboarding came around, and it was just, this was a long time ago, you know, Mammoth didn't have a park, like nobody had parks. So snowboarding was just such a symbol of freedom and exploration, which has always been like at the heart of everything that I've loved to do. Like the core of it is to explore, like using snowboarding is kind of like a tool to go explore and see like, you know, the next set of mountains beyond. I just would love to find little bumps. And, you know, when you're a kid, you just go to bed dreaming of like, oh, I'm going to do a 180. I'm going to do a 360. You know, you have like just that like pure joy and fulfillment from this passion of something you're like, you're learning and you're loving. And I think like for me, the first step was Kurt Wastel. Actually, I was having just a little session in the pipe at Mammoth hiking, and Kurt was filming. I think maybe with like I don't remember who he was filming with. Maybe Todd Hazeltine, actually. And he was like, dude, this kid rips. He just kinda invited me to hike with him and have a session with him, and then he hooked me up with Plain Sane, and that was my first sponsor. And then I just kinda like, yeah, it lasted for a little while, and then my mom started seeing the ads in the magazines that were like, you know, I don't know if you remember those Plain Sane, you know, had like the titties out, and just kind of like,
no way.
Yeah, so she wasn't too stoked on that. I had to kind of like send some gear back. But Forum was such a good opportunity for me. I remember I was just like bouncing around. I actually rode for Sims back in the day. And then I was on Rossignol for a very short period, and this Forum opportunity came. And like Blavelt said, I'd been watching, you know, those are the guys I idolized. Like I'm a little bit older, so I was watching, you know, like Decade, and I love Decade, you know, just True Life, Resistance, all that stuff. And so yeah, it's kind of like a dream come true to be on with these guys.
Sick, man. I know you said you had some clips in Video Gangs, Jake. And then Ika, did you have video, like any clips and videos prior to that? Or was that your first big video part?
I actually filmed with Devin the year before when I was on Genius. And then it was kind of like, I was already like kind of used to writing with him. So for that was definitely the biggest movie. There was some movies that I filmed for, but that was definitely the biggest movie I was ever in. And it's funny because I was already only on Forum for 1 year, and everyone like kind of still talks to me about like Forum. Like, well, I was only there for 1 year, and like that's crazy,
right?
Yeah, because you went to DC after that, right?
Yeah,
yeah. But like you're that video part. That's actually like, you know, when I met everybody. And actually, I have a funny a photo. It's a sales meeting in Park City, and it's all of us in the sales meeting. Jared Eberhardt sent it to me after the last episode, and I was like, oh my God. It was like you, Laurie, Blavel, JP, Devin, Welsh, and the rest of the crew. And I was like, holy shit, this seems like a lifetime ago. So that's wild. And then Blavel.
I fell in a hot tub with that sales meeting with my passport in my pocket.
Oh no.
Oh, that's okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know, maybe both. And then Blavel, like your first like breakout video part was that as well, right?
Yeah, I'd say so. That I had like, it wasn't a full part, but that was definitely like the biggest video I had been in up till that point. And like, it's crazy, like,
you got the fucking cover
out of, oh yeah, right, Cole took that shot, yeah, that was a sweet one. I'd say between like that and Art of Flight are like the two biggest videos, like the ones that people still talk about to this day, you know, like that. It was crazy how much of an impact that movie made and still makes. Like, people loved that video, wouldn't you say?
Like, yeah, dude, I agree.
It's actually insane. Like, I could post whatever I want to on my Instagram and get okay, like, engagement and like a response. If I put anything from that, I can't keep up with my DMs or my comments ever.
No doubt.
There's just too many.
Yeah. And
it's insane.
That's the way, I mean, that is the video where I come in for my intro and I sit on the mushroom, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's that.
Yes, it is.
And so that was so funny because when I went in, when we were filming that intro, I went in and I think I just, there was a mushroom to sit on in the studio, but I was like, what's this? And Kearns just had me go. He's like, yeah, just go and sit on the mushroom. And then he yelled at me something like totally absurd. And I was just so confused. And that was the expression that I got. And then they just dubbed over and they're like, they said something in the video like, this isn't the first time you've been on mushrooms, is it? And they kind of spliced it all together and made it work. But it was funny how that the intro to that movie, and that was funny having to explain that to like all my extended family and whatnot, like I used to partake in some psychedelics back in the day, you know, experimenting.
Try explaining blackface. Try explaining blackface to your family. Like, try explaining that shit, dude. Like, people were like pissed, but I'm like, bro, it was like, that's just, it was a fucking joke. It was funny. Back, I wanted to do
2010, but I know I'm surprised we haven't all gotten canceled, man.
Bro, we can get into that later, bro, but I had to literally write an article like 2-3 years ago on the, you know, the cover with Russell on there for Snowboarder, I believe, whatever. I had to write a whole explanation apologizing for it. And I was like, bro, that was 2006. I was 19 years old. I was fine with it. And it was like funny. But yeah, anyway, so I know what you mean when you're like trying to explain to people, like, oh, fucking, you know. So
that's funny.
Yeah, right. John Jay, what year did you get on Forum? And what was your first video part that you had on Forum? Because I know that you cleaned house. You went right of the year. We got video of the year. And I think you got like what? We got another award. What year did you come on?
Pretty sure it was late 2007, and I don't remember what. I wasn't on Forum for that long. I think it was only like 3 or 4 years.
I think it was when you were filming for Forum or Against Him.
Against Him. And that
Forever. I think it was the Forever year. That was Forever, the year that we won this, that you clean house.
Yeah.
It was Former Against Him, then Forever, and then Fuck It, right?
Yeah.
Pretty sure. Was that right before Form or Against Him?
Yeah, it was that, Form or Against Him, and then Forever, and then Fuck It, I believe.
Yeah, so I was only a part of those three. But I'll tell you, man, when I left and then, what was it, Vacation came out, dude, I almost cried watching that movie. I was like, oh, dude, all the boys. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that movie was so funny. And it was so good. And, you know, I think being on Forum were probably the best years of my career. Like, it's just so fun. Such a good squad. And we had just such a good tempo with snow conditions and traveling and everybody crushing it for those 3 years. But Forum had a huge legacy. I was only like a tiny part of it, but damn, it was good.
I wouldn't say you're a tiny part of it, bro, because you cleaned house that year. Like, you cleaned fucking house that year.
That F it year was a pretty good year. For sure. And I remember, like, I was going out a lot by myself. I don't know if everyone was injured or like nobody wanted to hang out with me or what, but it was just like, and run. And yeah, you know,
sometimes it works out. Like, it kind of seems selfish going out by yourself, but sometimes it's like, so you can stack shots. Like, it's always more fun with one other rider. Like, that's the
Well, you motherfuckers can go out and stack shots. I can go stack real shots. But jump shots, I don't know about all that. Yeah. Definitely not on you guys' level, you know. So, but let's jump back a little bit to that, because I know we were talking about how, like, you know, how impactful it was, and you know, people always talk about it. Ego, what did that do for your snowboard career? Like, it kind of exploded it in a sense, wouldn't you say?
Are you talking to me or who?
I said Ika, yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Pretty boy Ika. Like, what like filming for that, like, did that, like, that video part helped explode your career?
Yeah, for sure it did. And yeah, like I said, it's like the pretty much one of the only things that I ever hear from anyone. It's like, hey, that was so sick. Like, that year just definitely, like, left something in snowboarding, where the other years is just kind of like bonus filler, you know? And then after, I guess I get hear a little bit about, like, DC movies a little bit, but yeah, mainly it's that it definitely left a mark, just not only because of myself. I think it's like the group effort and whoever was in it. It was just such a, like, powerful movie at the time, I think, for the generation.
And you had an opener, right, Ika?
No, TK. I was right after TK.
Right after
TK. Yeah, TK had, he's like, I don't know what the boys are talking about. I'm true. That was his song, right?
Yeah,
of course.
Doubt.
And Blavel, what do you think, like, the movie that did for your career as far as, like, putting you on the main stage?
Yeah, like what Ika said. Yeah, it just, like, got out to way more people, and all of a sudden they, like, kind of know who you are, even though, like, I didn't even have a full video part. But yeah, it just matters, like, if the movie resonates with people and it gets out and is seen by enough people, that's all it takes. Like, you don't even need a full part, and still that's all anyone talks about, is like my two half parts that I had in the one in Art of Flight and the one in that. Those are, like, that's all you need. It's just, you got to be in the right video, right time, and it just kind of makes it for you.
Yeah, and the right clips.
Go ahead.
Way rather have, like, small presence in a good movie than a big presence in a small movie.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
That's true. And it's weird to me, because I look back at, like, that, and I'm like, okay, that was a cool movie. I only had a half a part as well, but that's what, like, kind of exploded my career in snowboarding. But I think that the reason that, I keep saying that, was, like, such an impactful movie, because I think that was the first movie coming off the Form 8 to, like, the new crew. So people were kind of, like, the expectations, like, okay, you know, Resistance, True Life, what's the next big Form video? And then that dropped, and it had a lot of heavy hitters in it. So, like, my assumption is, I think that's why that movie had such an impact in the industry. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's a lot of anticipation going into that movie, like, and I think everyone pulled it off pretty well.
Hell yeah. And I'm glad you said that. So this is going to be a round robin question for everybody. So, John J. Egan and Jake, like, do you feel like the expectation and the pressure from the Form 8 carried over to what I call, like, the V2 team? Do you think that expectation and that, like, that burden and that heavy weight of having to go out there and put out the heaviest clips you could, did you guys feel that effect, like, when you were out filming? And John, I know you were in later videos, but this will still affect you as well. So, you can go first and we'll go around, but did you feel that pressure?
Not necessarily, like, personally, like, the, like, expectations of a Form 8, that, not really. I think it was in a moment at the point, but Kearns definitely set expectations. He just told, we're only hitting the classic big ones. We're not hitting any small shit. I'm like, word. Like,
exactly.
And then it's like everything, like, we spent some time in the streets before, and I was like, everything needed to be legit and pretty, like, yeah, everything just needed to be legit. I remember, like, JP was running that shit, and he'd be like, nah, you're not hitting that, whatever. But, yeah, going into the backcountry, it was just like, fuck, you're only hitting big shit. I'm like, fuck me. So, and I remember, like, half through, like, I remember one day we hit Mother with Deb, and I had a bad day. I didn't land anything on it. And Kern showed up, and he's like, you think you're fucking bummed, man? It's like, listen to this shit. He's like, you remember that time? And he just said something, some, like, time, whatever. He's like, a little while ago. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you remember how long ago that was? I'm like, yeah, it seems like fucking, like, 2 months ago. I go, yeah, you haven't gotten one single shot since then. I'm like, fuck me, man.
Wow.
And then the fucking take for sure.
Yeah. Curtis didn't play. And yeah. Anyways. All right, Blavel, you're next on that question.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I did feel definitely like some pressure to, they're just huge shoes to fill, you know, like those 8 shoes to fill. Like, it was kind of, you couldn't really fill them, you know. It was just, they made such an impact on that generation, that all the people watching those videos, that I think we were kind of damned if we do, damned if we don't. Like, we could try, but we were never going to live up to them. And that's fine, because they were so iconic. And so I think I just kind of had to accept that and kind of forget it and not try and always compare ourselves in this new, like you said, V2 team, trying to be like the old Forum 8, because no one's going to be like the old Forum 8. And so once you accept that, it's all good. And we just did our thing moving forward. But yeah, I mean, it was crazy filming with like, you know, going up and filming with Devin and Ika and JP. I remember that was like, we got into town and that was, they were the A crew, and the A crew heads out, you know, and they go like, follow Devin around, Devin and Kearns to all the sickest spots. And those guys are like stomping and pow. And then there's like the younger B crew who's just like trying to pick up scraps and like, where do we go and what do we do? But you just put your time in and you learn where to go and what to do and how to be out there. And I definitely remember that pep talk with Kearns, which Kearns was no bullshit, and I love him for it. I love Kearns and Johnson. They're great like that. Like, they really, I think it was after we got the first transfer, because we were still using film back then, and we got the first transfer, and Kearns was like, what the fuck? Like, we don't have anything.
16 mil,
yeah.
Yeah.
First transfer, and then he gave us the pep talk, and he's like, dude, you guys got to step it up, like, spin more, go bigger. And that was, I remember Cole and I were like, whoa, dude, this is gnarly. Like, we were scared and like, we had our tail between our legs. But then, like, I can remember a couple weeks later going to Mother and trying to fucking switch back 9 on Mother, which is like, oh, biggest jump I had ever hit. Crazy trick at that point in my career. And like, I wheelied out and it didn't quite make it. But like, that pep talk really got me thinking, like, you got to go big, chuck hard. And like, imagine if I walked away with a switchback 9 on Mother, like, that would have been so sick. And I would have attributed a lot of that to like Kearns's pep talk. So yeah,
that would have been fucking epic.
Devin coming back. I think Devin was with you at Mother when you tried that, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I remember him coming back. He's like, dude, what the fuck? Those guys are nuts.
Yeah, right.
That's insane, bro.
I think that was the day when he got his last shot in that. Or was it that? Or last shot in one of the videos, doing a switchback 5 on that.
I was there for a switchback 5.
Oh, you were there for that. Yeah, we had a couple sessions on that jump. But
yeah,
just like, Kearns giving the pep talk and then being able to be out there with like Devin Walsh in fucking Whistler. It's like, dude, now's the time. Go big. Like, just go for broke.
Heavy, heavy. John Jay, I know you were in later movies, but did you feel that same pressure from the Forum 8 as you came onto Forum and you started filming with the crew?
I don't know. I think I kind of escaped that a little bit by like these guys haven't filled in that gap in between me coming on in the Forum 8. And obviously, like, the Forum 8 was so iconic and, you know, like, you can't really replace that or redevelop it. And so for me, it was just an honor to be on. You know, these were the guys that I had idolized, and to be on Forum, it was such a privilege and an honor. And then being a little bit later, I think the young bloods kind of made that transition into, you know, creating a new Forum. And then I came on as like an addition. You know, there's like this new guy that comes on, because you guys had already had, you know, a lot of experiences and stuff, like, you know, what you were just telling me about those pep talks and stuff. I was like a year or two later than that. So, yeah.
I don't think because Kurtz was gone.
That's what I was just going to say. John didn't need any pep talks. He was already
gone. Nah, he fucking John Jay's writing was the pep talk.
Yeah, exactly.
Pep talks like at trade shows and stuff.
Bigger.
What's that?
But when you were filming, it was, you know, Kearns was gone, so it was like Yant, Jaime, Pettit, and who else was out there filming? There's just those three, right?
I think Yant and Jaime. Johnson.
Yant, Jaime, Sean and Johnson. Was Johnson out there?
Maybe for a little bit. Yeah.
A little bit. Okay. So,
yeah.
And then we had Reuter, we had Cole, So we had some heavy, not only heavy writing, but heavy filmers and photographers as well.
Yeah, those guys were all so legendary, and like they were like, yeah, they paved the way for us. They, like, I definitely remember going out a lot with like Yant and Rutt, and just them taking me under their wing and like, this is how you do it, and we're going to show you the way. And Johnson too, actually filming with Johnson. And like, they taught me a lot. Very grateful for that crew. Yeah.
Well, you remember we were filming in Ebbets, and, you know, Rutt's like kind of like taking photos, but it's kind of seeming like uninterested. Like, you guys suck. You know, he's like, yeah, I'm ready, whatever.
Yeah,
and then he just lights that tree on fire.
There's, yeah, man,
gigantic tree at the bottom, and he just lights it on fire. It took a while to catch, but I swear that thing burnt for like a week. We went back out, and it was it was still smoking. There's a huge hole.
National forest in there too, man.
Fuck,
yeah. I mean, the thing was huge. It was dead, but yeah, it was like a massive tree.
Yeah, I remember that. That was sick.
Dude.
This episode is brought to you by BYOB, Be Your Own Banker. Visit BeYourOwnBanker.com.
Also brought to you by PMC, Private Money Club. There are only two types of people in the world, people with money and people who need money. There's only one community that solves both problems. PrivateMoneyClub.com is the only dating site for money.
I remember, I can't remember, I think it was, it wasn't that because I got hurt. Like real season, so I wasn't out filming, but I think it was for former against him or forever, whatever. Blava, you were there. Me, Nick Save, and there's some other crews, but I went to do a back five off this cliff and caught my hill edge and tumbled and barely missed the rocks. I put it on my Instagram a couple of weeks ago. It's on there, but I remember coming down and then Yant looking at me and be like, bro, like, This is real deal. He's like, dude, if you're not ready for this, then fucking say something, but don't go kill yourself. Right. And I was just like, oh shit, you're right, dude. Like, I'm not going to kill myself. I was so close to hitting the rocks. Super fucking close. Like, yeah, if you check my gram, it's on there. But then I ended up like cab fiving it like the next day, which worked out. I wasn't on you guys' level, but it took me a while to catch up. You know what I'm saying? But
no doubt.
Yeah. So, Eco, after you went to Forum, you left after that and you went to DC, correct?
Correct.
And then what was your experience at DC, man, after like leaving Forum? Like, what was the difference between the teams, like the team dynamics? I know you guys had a fucking insane team at DC as well.
It was a little like, it was bittersweet for sure, because I saw these guys like still had their squad and doing their thing, and they're all killing it. But I was actually, it was pretty similar since I was with Lowry and Devin on DC, but I was actually told to leave because they wanted to concentrate on Lowry. Little did they know, we had a little conversation behind their back.
Oh, no. And,
but yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like a new start. I was like, fuck, if you tell me I need to move on, and I'll move on.
And who told you to move on?
I think it was who was it? What's his name?
Evan Rose, Jared Eberhardt, Knox, Jenner,
Keller, at that point?
No,
Dan.
No,
was it a team manager?
No, he's doing the marketing. Chief.
Jared, Evan, Chief. Dan. Chief.
Yeah. Right. Chief, yeah. Thank you, Chief.
Yeah.
Not in a bitter way.
For sure.
Yeah.
It all worked out. All right. Yeah.
No, but I understood them like completely. I was like, they were trying to get me on Special Blend or Foursquare because I was on Planet Earth then, just on forum boards, boots and bindings. And then we were doing the contract stuff, and eventually it just became down to it. It's like, hey, we're just going to concentrate on Lowry since he's been here longer. I was like, all right. And I didn't really like the DC thing, wasn't like sure at that point, but we were in the talks, but yeah. And then a couple weeks later, we got the green light on that. So I was like, whew.
Then yeah. I remember when you left, and I was like, fuck. I was like, God damn it. There goes Ika. And because you and I, good.
Yeah, it sucked, and then it was cool, but it sucked at the same time. Yeah, like after seeing all the movies and not hanging and going on trips with all you guys, so that was definitely. But yeah, I was so like, after the movie, I was so like, it was kind of like peak of my career, so I was like just focused on snowboarding.
Yeah, I'll just say, like, I remember we didn't spend any time in the backcountry, but we spent a lot of time in on rail trips, like, you know, Sweden and Finland, and got a lot of, you know, a lot of rail tricks, and shit was heavy. We were all putting it down, and I was super bummed when you left, because I was like, fuck, like, that was like, you know, like, me, you, Kennedy, JP, obviously we had a crew, but I was like, fuck, man, like, Ika's gone, because you always had me laughing like a motherfucker every time we'd be on a rail trip. Like, even like it would get super serious and we'd be burnt out from like just filming, and you would always have me fucking rolling, bro, like laughing my ass off.
Yeah, it's crazy because after that, I didn't film really street anymore. That's like also kind of like it just, I didn't have the crew anymore, and then it motivation for it was out the window. And yeah, those street trips though, like, fuck, it's crazy. It was only one season, but I always remember all those trips and like fucking chilling in Stockholm and just laughing our asses off. It was the shit.
I was always bummed that I couldn't come on those Stockholm trips, because those sounded so fun.
Yeah. It was just
Kennedy and you and Kareem, Cole, all that.
Pat, JP,
yeah, all you guys, yeah.
Lari, a little bit, dude. Like, yeah, it was rad, but like, I mean, blah. Do you really want to see yourself throwing yourself down a bunch of big ass handrails? Yeah, right. Like getting staring massages. Like, yeah. I'll be honest with you. And now I look back at it, I'm like, I would never fucking do that again if you paid me.
No doubt. Yeah.
Yeah. It, no fucking it definitely way. Group
no way
in the streets. Because I tried to go and film streets after. I'm like, fuck no, I don't have my crew. Like, I couldn't do it. There's like no way. It's crazy. Yeah, like in the like stupidity fucking
yeah, right.
Yeah, it's just like fucking everyone's going crazy then and then.
Yeah, it just crazy. Brings the level up when yeah. everybody's on. Yeah.
Crazy. For me, it's bad. I can't go in the streets and just look at a fucking crazy handrail right now or right after that. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to fucking do this solo.
Yeah, fuck that. Nah, I will never hit a street rail again. But John Jay, let's jump to you real quick because you keep cutting in and out. And I just think that technology is not in your favor. But it's all good, player.
He's like, why can't you?
So I'm going to ask you this. I know we talked about this the other day when I called you, but do you remember the first trip you did with us? We were in Toronto shooting a special one in Foursquare catalog, and it was your first trip with us. And we went to the strip club and we played card roulette, and you lost. First fucking trip. And your bill wasn't crazy. It wasn't like thousands. It was probably like $600-700. But do you remember losing card roulette yeah, at the strip
like,
club?
Oh man, this sucks. I don't remember. Was it the strip club? I remember it being, or maybe I lost twice. Because I kind of remember
probably.
Losing in a restaurant. I think I did. I think it was like twice off the bat. I was like, oh, these guys are like pulling tricks on me. I'm a new guy. there were some funny times for sure. That first trip to Canada was.
That's a trip that Travis Kennedy didn't show up for the photo shoot at all.
Yeah, because he said like a moose. He blamed it on like a moose or some kind of animal that got in his way on the way to the airport. And everybody's like, yeah, radio.
But then, I don't want to throw Kennedy under the bus because obviously we love Kennedy, bro. Like, that's my fucking guy. I hope he's doing well. But I FaceTimed him while we were at the shoot and he was partying his face off. So I'm like, bro, a moose did not get in your way. Alcohol got in your way.
Yeah. He was so funny when you travel with him. If you're like right on time for the airport, he'd be like, nah, dog, let's go to the strip club or do something so that we can be rushing to grab. Like, he thrived on like being late to the airport in those type of situations where I'm like, why don't we just check in, like keep it chill. But that's how Kennedy rolled, man. He like liked that chaos and like, man, I miss that kid.
I love that kid. Do you remember Blavel? It was after that we did the summer camp in Meyerhofen.
Yes.
And it was me, you, Welsh, and Kennedy, and Kareem. Kareem fell asleep and missed a whole day of snowboarding. And then we went snowboarding, but then we all went to Amsterdam after.
Amsterdam after, yeah.
Do you remember how big of a shit show it was trying to get Travis Kennedy to check in to the airplane to get to Amsterdam because he had his shit everywhere. Like, he literally luggage bag open, clothes everywhere, trying to reorganize shit.
He was kind of on a fucking nightmare that whole trip, man. Because we were Amsterdam and Kennedy's got the craziest flair and like the huge, just the craziest gear. And then going to like Amsterdam, like European, like, just different vibe. And so everywhere we went, he just stuck out like a sore thumb and everybody was looking at us. And it was just such a funny trip because he was just so in his own world that whole time. I love
always.
He did not give
always.
And I was trying to like blend in. And so I was like, no, I don't even know that guy, man.
I think all of us were trying to blend in, but Travis, everybody, Travis.
It's just the craziest gear. Like, he was like at the peak of his career.
Gangsterism, we'll call it.
Gangsterism, yeah, at that point. And that was a funny ass trip, man. Yeah.
You remember Evie? He'd always be complaining because they wouldn't let him at the clubs. He goes, we gotta go to the fucking east side, guys. people don't like me on this side.
Travis was something else.
I don't remember where we were. I think it was on one of the premiere tours. But we were, I think you and I were roommates at one of the hotels, and Kennedy comes knocking on our door all late night. I don't know why he didn't have a room, or I don't know what was going on. He couldn't find it, but he's like, yo, he comes in with this girl and he's like, convinces you. He's like, yo, Blavel, got this babe. Like, can I sleep in your bed? And you're like, dude, sure, whatever. Like, we're trying to go to sleep.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't know if you left or like went on the floor or something, but I just Kennedy like, you know, slams it out with this girl, and then in the morning we had to leave early. We had an early flight, and I'm like just getting up, putting my clothes on, and I put on my socks, and I'm like, what the hell is going on with my sock? Like, why?
Oh my God.
Experiment is this? And I'm like, it was like completely like crusted. No. Shot, dude. I'm like, I think I said it out loud. I'm like, what the hell is wrong with my sock? And Kennedy's like, oh, are those your socks? I'm like, dude, no, you didn't. Yeah, I mean, I think we all know what happened without me having to say it, but.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's insane, dude. Dude, Kennedy, I'll be honest with you. I don't know why Form always put me in the same room with Kennedy. Like, well, I kind of understand why. Do you know how many times I've almost got kicked out of the country because of that motherfucker?
For sure, man.
Like, you know, anyways. But, yeah, let's get back on topic because he's not here to defend himself. And we all know we love Kennedy. He's one of the best, most genuine people I've ever met in my life. He just makes bad decisions.
Kid, so talented. Just makes bad decisions sometimes.
Yeah, he does, but he's rad though. So, blah blah. What year did you end up leaving Form again?
Shit, I don't know. Maybe I was probably like 21 or 22, so that would be like 2007, 2008.
I think. So you were in Form or against them.
Yeah, and then like a year after that, because I was never part of like Forever, or was I? Yeah, I had a part in Forever, and then that was my last video part, I think. And so yeah, at that point, like I think Burton had acquired Forum at that point, right after Former
2006, 2005. They bought Forum in 2005.
They did. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, because every single one of my checks said Burton on them, so.
Right. And yeah, like Burton's, they make sick product. They're a great company. But like when they took over Forum, I definitely saw like a decline in product development, like boards especially. It was almost like we were just like the stepchild who like doesn't get any care or like product development. And so I was kind of a little bummed on that. And then also like the team videos are sick. I think there's a time and a place for them, and I'm stoked to be a part of them. But then at that point, I was trying to have a little bit of my own autonomy and like not be part of a team video and kind of do my own thing. And so, but when you're on Forum Forum, especially being owned by Burton at that point, it was like, it was either you do what they ask you to, it's their way or the highway. Like you're part of their team video or nothing. They're not going to be funding any like self-driven projects. And that's kind of where I wanted to start taking my career at that point. So I dipped out right after Forever, maybe like, 2007, 2008, and got on with Ride and Oakley. And yeah, that was then. Yep.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, I think we've all experienced this too with like Forum, and there's nothing, we're not saying anything bad about Forum, but do you guys remember like where, and I don't know if you experienced this, Ika, because I knew you were right in front of the brand, but like, do you guys remember when they wanted us to go all head to toe, everything Forum and Special Blend or Foursquare? Like that became a thing in the industry. So like I had to quit Neff, I had to quit a couple other sponsors, but like, Kevin Keller, like, oh, Nephon, bro. And they made me quit everything and go head to toe. You guys all experienced that, right? Was that and John? Not, I don't know, John Jay, if you experienced that as well, but do you guys remember that?
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, definitely. Yeah,
I think I came on with that commitment.
Yeah,
yeah, it kind of sucked though because it was rad to like be represent Forum Specialist or Forum and Foursquare, but then also have like other brands that you're a part of too, like, you know what I mean, other connections. Like I rode for Maddox, DVS, Spot, and Neff for a long time, and then I had to quit a lot of those, and it kind of sucked, but that was just kind of the way the industry was at that time, right?
Yeah.
So I could see why. Do you guys think that like that had something to do with maybe you guys wanting to leave at that point?
I think it happened like I was on the beginning of it when I needed to be on Special Blend or Foursquare. So I don't really know much about that, but I can see why someone would want to leave. Because it's like there's no identity left.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, Jake?
Yeah, you're just like not really an individual. You're part of the team, which is sick. You know, like, don't get me wrong. Like, the team videos were, I think Forum did the best team videos maybe ever. But at the same time, it's like if you wanted to do your own thing, there was no option for that. And that was kind of my main sticking point and what made me leave eventually. Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we all have those. John Jay, what was your experience with that? John Jay literally is struggling with technology.
Sorry, I was just, I don't know if you could hear that, the like furnace just turned on. It's like,
get your fucking furnace service, bro. What are you doing?
I just got online, got on the app, turned it off, didn't even have to move. No big deal. Yeah.
Boom.
No, you're all good. I'm just talking shit on me. Did you have that same experience, John Jay, when you got on Forum, like everything, like head to toe? Like, how did that make you feel? Like, yeah, what was your experience?
I think that was kind of like a commitment off the bat that I was just like, I don't know, it was a good opportunity for me. It was a good deal. I was like, yeah, man, let's do this. I'm super down. I mean, now it's, yeah. I think these days, like, it'd be simple to have a head to toe deal. If you have the privilege of getting something like that, if you're lucky enough to, I think that's good because it's, I don't know, there's, seems a lot harder in snowboarding these days, and there's, you know, you're trying to, even if you have a lot of little sponsors peppered in there, you know, they're gonna ask for a lot from you, and so kind of trying to satisfy everything instead of just a head-to-toe deal where all your focus is in this one company and doing everything you can for them, you know, as long as it makes sense. I think that's it's a pretty good way.
Yeah, I think
to recognize it's like fun to be on all the, like, I was on DVS too with Melnick, and you know, I have so many great chapters through my snowboarding career of, you know, relationships that are amazing.
For sure. And I loved having a bunch of different brands, but it also, like, there's obviously some pros and cons to it. Like, it was rad because Head to Toe Forum and Special Blend are in Foursquare, but then they also made the movies too. So you kind of have like, you kind of like, I don't know if I want to call it like security, because I don't think there's a such thing in snowboarding as security, but it's rad to know that like the brands that you're writing for are also producing a movie. So it's like kind of all encompassing one, but then also like it made it so like I couldn't go do anything else, any like with any other sponsors or any other shoots or anything, you know, ride with other riders that I wanted to, which I only wanted to ride with you motherfuckers anyways, but sometimes it'd be fun to go do other projects and ride with other people. How do you guys feel like about that, you know? Yeah. I know you kind of touched on it, Jake. You wanted to have that autonomy to go do something, you know, separate. But John Jay, did you guys kind of feel the same way? Like, you know, it was just kind of like, I'm just in the silo and I'm stuck here and this is all I can do.
I mean, I think head to toe deals are good, but you should be allowed to have a few other things going on and just kind of break it from the mold. So not everyone is just like the same person. But I mean, there's moderation to it. If you start having like 12 different sponsors, it looks pretty messy.
That's very true as well. John Jay, how you feel?
Yeah, I think, I don't know, it's nice to have
a home, have backing, have resources to do what you love. But at the same time, like what Jake was feeling, it's so nice to have creativity to break off, do your own thing, kind of like tell your own story. And,
you know, I
like them both. I mean, I think the team videos with Forum were so much fun and something that is rare today. You know, it was so fun to do that. And now it's hard to get financing for a project. So to have backing to do that is a blessing. But, I don't know, when I got on Red Bull, I was pitching them all kinds of ideas and doing my own little shows and stuff. Book of John Jay, Brothers on the Run. That stuff was so much fun too. It's like,
those were sick.
The creative aspect is amazing. And having, you know, somebody that takes your idea and is like, yeah, we can do that. I mean, especially Brothers on the Run. We're like, hey, yeah, I want to like do this all inclusive sport too. Well, it was psycho. You would never be able to do that in today's market. Hey, I want to drive from Alaska to Argentina, and like I think we're gonna need 2 trucks. Can you build us these trucks? We're gonna have surfers, bikers, paragliders, like everything in the mix. They're like, okay, sounds good. How long is it gonna take you?
Yeah.
Super sick.
I know. I look back to those like days in the,
it's right there.
Oh no way, I was gonna ask.
Oh, you gotta keep it?
Yeah, dude.
Mental. Oh shit.
Sorry. Wicked. I'm about to borrow that shit.
Yeah, you better
bring some tools with you.
Oh my god, never mind.
My shitty mechanic.
I'll rent an RV. Never mind. Thank you, doggy. Well, we hit the hour mark, boys, and I want to be respectful of everybody's time, but I got a few more questions about it. Like, I'll start with you, EK. Like, tell me, some of your most positive and happy memories about riding for Forum. And then also let me know like some of the pitfalls and some of the things that you experienced that weren't so pleasant.
All the happy memories is the traveling, all the friends that I made in the team. I think all the good times and friends and pushing snowboarding, I think those are all positive. And I don't really know if I really have any negative things to say. It was the best time of my life, for sure.
Especially when we're spending $98,000 at the Lidmar.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Eating lobster spring rolls and Heinekens every day.
For sure. No, it's like, yeah, there's nothing like negative that I carry from those times.
That's it. So all positive. That's good to hear. Blob out. Tell us something like your greatest memories, yeah, and then some of the pitfalls, like all of it, man. Like,
yeah, I think like, I just think I was going to say earlier, like, I think we were like so fortunate to come up in snowboarding in like the early 2000s, you know, when like budgets were fat and teams were stacked. And so I feel super fortunate to be like, with all you guys on Forum in the early 2000s. That was like insane. And like my favorite times was like initially getting the film with guys like Devin, you know, and like JP, like some of the original, Peter. I remember seeing Peter ride, like first time riding with Peter, and Peter still got it. Like he's just a natural, like how he sits on a board is like, it's just his stance, something about it. It works, man. It's like that guy, he's a natural the way you see him do it. And so just getting to ride with them right off the bat when I was just like late teens and like filming with Heine and Kearns and them and Yant and Rush showing us how it's done. Like I owe them so much for just like taking me under their wing and showing us, like keeping us safe out there and showing us how to film proper videos. And then like really getting to team up with John Jay and Ika and a couple of the other guys up in BC, up in Wiss especially, and spending like full winters up in Wiss, especially like before I was 21 but you could drink up there from 19, you know? And so like party on the down days with the crew and then film fucking hard when the going was good. And like, especially like some of those years, John, when you and I were teamed up and like we were kind of shredding buddies, like just seeing your work ethic and like how hard you went. And like, I just remember piling in like in Tahoe too, we were crashing at your crib and then we'd drive all the way fucking down to Ebbets, like 2 hours away. We'd be up at 4, hopping in your big ass white rig and just
pissed
for sure. But like seeing like how you were just so focused and just all in and like, just, I learned so much. And I think that really paved the way for like how I kind of had the rest of my career go. I think I owe it a lot to like all you guys and that crew. And then as far as like negative times, there weren't any for me. Like what Ika was saying, the hardest part was just having to leave for him and having to say like, I gotta, like, even though times were really good, I gotta dip out and do my own thing. And then having people kind of second guess my decisions, and then me second, like people, I won't name any names, being like, you're making a huge like career ender. And really that was like what helped set my career the way it had went, was filming my own videos and things like that. So sometimes you got to just kind of listen to your own inner voice and don't listen to the banter. But that was the hardest part for me, was leaving, like when everything was so good, but just being like, shit, I got to dip out. That was tough.
Sometimes you got to make those tough decisions for the betterment of your future, you know?
For sure. Yeah. But that was those times kind of sucked. And actually, like when I was saying, like, I got to dip out, I can't be like, I got to do my own thing, I'm not going to ride for Forum. And then like, I went to Costa Rica for a month and just like pretty much turned my phone off. And that really helped to smooth things over. But at that point, like I had just like signed onto a mortgage and like, I had all these payments and my mom was tripping out so hard, but it all worked out. Yeah.
Oh, I definitely know. I bought my house at 23, bro. Still have the same house, but like my parents are like, are you sure?
Yeah.
Like, nah, I got this. Yeah. And like, here we are 16 years later. And they're like, damn, you still got the house? Well, yeah, right. Good. John Jay, tell us like, you know, same questions, like some of the like most amazing moments, and then if there is any pitfalls, you know.
Yeah, it's been amazing, man. I look back at it and I'm just like, I don't know, I laugh because I love it so much. And I'm just like, how did this all fall into place? You know, it's not like I really directed myself here when I was young. It wasn't like I like wanted to be a professional snowboarder, really. I just loved doing it so much. And I think I don't know. I think that, in my opinion, the best credentials are experience, and the experience we've had in the mountains and with each other and traveling. I think we've all learned so much. I know I have. And I just like the most important things in life for me too. You know, it's not like I really have a deep care for that, like true joy and fulfillment and what is like success. You know, it's like going out in the mountains and having like the most important thing for me today is like spending time with my family and making sure like everybody's happy and teaching them and like placing our stake in the center and being like, this is us. Let's take care of us. We take care of us. We take care of each other and those around us. And I don't know. I think just being in the mountains and having that experience where nothing else matters in the world, it's just being out here in the mountains, has really been a big attribute to like my way of thinking. And like, it's easy to just get spiraled out and like all the stresses of life, mortgage, like, you know,
yeah. But
I don't know. I think snowboarding has done so much for me that I'm so thankful for. And I mean, I'm sure I've made bad decisions in it and have had like, you know, but it's just, I've jumped around sponsors a lot, you know, and some things, I think Forum was one of the best things I could have done for sure. And I wanted to stay there. I was so sad to leave when I went to Burton, but I think like Jake, your exit was probably pretty smart too, because I think right after I went to Burton, you know, Forum got crushed a couple, like, I think it was only 1 year later, and then they just snipped it. So yeah, you know, it's just kind of, you just roll with it, and you know, you get pros and cons, and you just kind of like keep creating. You're like, okay, this is how the roadmap looks in front, and how am I gonna, like, let's create here. So I don't know. I think I think when I was younger, I had way more reservations and thoughts in my head of like, whoa, am I doing the right thing? Like, all my buddies are going to college. Maybe I should go do this. You know, maybe I should go to school and like figure, you know, but I just kind of rolled with it, and I love it. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know.
And I think that everybody here is a father except Ika, right? Ika, no kids.
No kids.
You're the smartest. You're the smartest one out of all of us. Because they are not cheap, bro. They're not cheap. Blah blah. You have two girls.
I got two girls and a boy, so I got three.
Two girls and a boy. John Jay, you've got
two ladies.
Two girls. Yeah. You got the same karma I do, homie. But like, let's just touch on that really quick too. Like, listen, sometimes to you, John Jay, like, what's it like? You know, your professional career, now you've got kids, like, are you passing down the passion of snowboarding to them? And like, what's that experience been like?
Yeah, I mean, I want to, I can't, they're kind of stubborn. So if I'm like trying to get them to do something, they're like, nah, I'm just going to go do this. Or like, you know, it's just kind of, I don't know. We used to have a skate ramp here at my house. A fire came through and got it. But I would take Rocket out on it all the time and just be like, let's go skate. She's like, nah, you know, I want to just sit on the board or whatever. But yeah, it's so much fun. Like, kids are hard for sure. Like, relationships are hard. Kids are hard, but it's so great. It's the greatest gift life can give. It's so fun. Can't wait.
Blah, blah.
Okay. You're going to be popping them out.
Yeah. Blah, blah. What's it like? What's it been like with like raising your three kids? Are you teaching them snowboarding, skating, like passing on the passion? Like, what's it like?
For sure. Yeah, I'm trying to, but at the same time, like, you try not to push anything too hard, because the harder you push, the harder they resist. So I just try and like show them like my friends skating and me skating and snowboarding, and yeah, they love it right now. Although I will say, like, so my oldest is 7. And then middle 6, and the youngest is 4 right now. But like, snowboarding is really hard for young kids. I feel like until they get to like 6 or 7, it doesn't quite work, like, just with their strength and bodily awareness. And so anyway, my oldest is snowboarding and she's ripping now, like, maybe not ripping, but she's linking turns. And then my other two, the younger ones, they went to skiing, and like, they can ski now, and like, they can do it on their own. And I think it's more just getting them up to the mountain and on the chairlifts, and just the whole mountain vibe is more what it's about. It's like the experience. And I could care less if they just continue to ski this whole time. Like, as long as they're up there in the mountains having fun, like, I could care less. But yeah, definitely just trying to keep them interested in board sports and soccer, and they're like all consuming, but they're the best thing in the world. And so like, I just also think about the times when, like, back in the early 2000s, when we were all on Forum up in Whistler and not a thing else to do, budgets were fat. No, like, you look back at those times, and like, if we could go back to those times, I enjoyed it back then, but I would enjoy it even more, just being so free to just do whatever the hell you want. And I think I would have like probably dwelled less on not stomping tricks and just enjoyed the moment a hell of a lot more. Cause like, we were just all so fortunate to just go and fuck off in the mountains and get paid, man. It was like unreal how lucky we are to be like on that team with our crew of homies doing what we did. So like, it's insane.
Absolutely. I got one more question for you, but real quick, like, you know, I have two little girls too. I've got a 6 and a 3-year-old. A 6-year-old, she snowboards, rides moto, BMX, skates. My 3-year-old, she skates now, but she's going to start snowboarding this year. But I actually have taken down There's not a single photo. Like, there's nothing that tells my little kids that I was ever a pro snowboarder. They still don't know. Hmm. And I do that because I don't want them to know, because I want them to think that when we go snowboarding, I want them to know that when we go snowboarding, it's a family thing. It's not a dad thing. I don't want them to feel pressure like you have to do what dad did. So they still don't know at all, you know, and I don't want to keep it that way. But like my baby mama, her brother is Alex Sherman, who was a pro snowboarder as well. But he started to like mention things to them. And my oldest started asking me, and I had to call him and be like, bro, do not say anything to my daughter at all about me being a snowboarder at all. Because I don't want them to think that, because like when they know that, then it becomes like, oh, this is dad's thing. You know, and I don't want them to know that. So now it's just fun, because it's just like, oh, it's a thing we're gonna do with, you know, with dad. So it's fun. And
that's how you're doing it. But I'm always telling my kids how cool I am, or at least I was, and they're like, and they're like, yeah, right, dad. But then a funny thing is, like, my oldest is in second grade now, and some of her friends, most of them are boys. They watch my videos because they know, like, I'm the hometown hero for snowboarding or whatever. So watch my videos, and then they ask my daughter to come home and get my autograph, and then she gives it to them in school. And she's like,
"Oh, sick!"
She's like, "Oh, maybe like you are pretty good, and maybe you're kind of cool." Like,
so that's so funny,
I'm riding that train as long as I can.
Fuck yeah, man. Actually, I've had a couple of my oldest sailor, my oldest, I've had a couple of her teachers be like, are you a pro snowboarder? And really? I look at it and I'm like, I'm always like, nah, that was my brother. Just be, you know what I mean? Just because, like, fuck, you know, whatever. But anyways, let's wrap this thing up. But like, you know, I'll start with you, Ike. Like,
if there's anything you could share with the younger generation from your experience being a long time pro and being in the industry for a long time, like, what would you share with them, man?
Make friends, have good times, have good work ethic, and just don't take it for granted. Mm-hmm. It's the best time you can ever have in your life. Young person.
Mm-hmm. Sound advice. John Jay, what would you share with the younger generation? Because I know everybody still looks up to you guys. You guys are still my favorite snowboarders. But John Jay, what would you share with the younger generation, man?
Just have fun with it.
Get involved. Like, work hard. Be a squeaky wheel. Just like, get out there and make it happen. Like, create. Make what you want to see happen.
You can do it.
Blavelt, what would you share with the younger generation, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's like a lot to be said for the work ethic thing, like you guys were saying, like, yeah, work hard. Most importantly, like, be stoked and passionate about whatever you're doing. And if you're not, find something that you are passionate about and work towards that, because that's the only way, like, I feel like you're ever really going to be successful at anything and happy at anything, is if you're passionate about it. So find your passion. And also, like, don't think, I always used to think that I was too young to do some things, like too young to like buy rental properties when I was like making good money in my early 20s. Like, I'm kicking myself for that. But like, I always thought that I was too young to do it. And now, like, it's like, oh, I think I'm too old. So like, don't let age get in your way. Like, don't think that you're too young to do anything. Just fucking go for it, man. And take chances too. Like, I think something to be said for taking chances and, yeah, trying to follow through with that and just enjoy the ride. Don't get stuck. Like, if you are lucky enough to be get paid to snowboard, like, enjoy the ride. Don't get caught in the minutiae and like the shots, the shot count, and like how good your video part's going to be. Just like, enjoy being traveling and getting paid and being out there. And even if you're not getting paid, just, yeah, enjoy the ride. It's a lot more than like, and the final product.
Yeah, I'm gonna second that. I think that, like, looking back, and I think about this all the time, you know, that I've been doing this podcast, like, the one thing I wish I would have done more was enjoy the moment. I was always focused on the next trick, the next trip, the next video, the next this, the next that. And I like, it went by so fast like that because I was never enjoying the moment. I was always so focused on the future. So all that is super sound advice, man. And like John, Ika,
enjoyed the moment.
I know you enjoyed the moment. I would say Ika's probably the best at enjoying the moment.
I think we enjoyed the moment quite a bit.
This episode is brought to you by BYOB, Be Your Own Banker. Visit BeYourOwnBanker.com.
Also brought to you by PMC, Private Money Club. There are only two types of people in the world, people with money and people who need money. There's only one community that solves both problems. PrivateMoneyClub.com is the only dating site for money.
I want to give a big shout out to Snowbird. Snowbird is your one-stop shop entertainment all year round. Whether it's catching deep powder in the winter or going up with your friends and family during the summer and riding the aerial tram or the roller coaster. And one of my personal favorites during the fall, Oktoberfest. Go to snowbird.com, get your tickets. I'll see you up there.
Ika, I will say this. One thing I have about like riding with you and being around you, bro. Like, I know I said this earlier, but you always kind of put, like, even though we're in a stressful situation, you had a good way of bringing the stress level down because you never really gave a shit about what we were doing and how big it was. And I'm sure we all were scared, but like, you always had a good way of like making people feel comfortable, just like, hey, let's just have fun doing this. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I appreciated about you. Like, I was always just like, dude, you want to go Ika? Like, we're going to have fun. What'd you say?
I appreciate that. I didn't know I had that energy, but that's cool to hear. Because I thought it was the opposite.
No, hell no, bro. You always had, like I said, you always had me laughing and like, we would be seriously like shelling something and then I'd be thinking to myself, like, I could die today. I can die today. I can die today. But you always had a way of like kind of breaking it and like making it fun so that it was enjoyable. So I appreciate you guys, man. All of you.
And from TK as well. Because
of course. I remember
being hitting like some handrails and we just always thought about the worst case scenario and kind of made it fun. It's like, what if you hit your... underneath this, you flip over and we're headed to the parking lot. Like, what the fuck?
Stevie, are you gonna get him on? Have you like tried reaching out, TK?
I have tried to reach out, dude. I would absolutely love to get him on. Damn. TK's funny, bro. He'll hit me like, I don't know what his situation is currently, but whenever he's out of whatever he's doing, he'll hit me on Instagram and we'll talk for like maybe a couple weeks. He'll post the most absurd shit I've ever seen in my entire life on Instagram, and then he'll be gone again for like a year or two. But I would love to get him on here if I can. It's just a matter of getting a hold of him. So, But hey, I want to thank you, boys. I want to respect your time. I know we're all busy, but I love you guys, and it's fucking rad to see you guys' faces. I know that everybody's going to be super fucking happy to hear from you guys because you guys are so impactful in snowboarding. And, nothing but gratitude, and I thank you guys.
Hell yeah, Stevie.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. You guys. Love you, boys.
Yeah. Fuck yeah, boys. I love you guys. Too. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks again, homies.
Hey, one request. Yeah. Can we come together and do this in person soon? Let's go ride this.
I got a whole fucking studio, bro. You come out here, bro. We can do it. Yeah, we can make it happen. I actually been talking to Peter. I'm like, we should get everybody together and do a ride day.
Yeah.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. Ride day. Yeah, Pete.
Yeah, hell yeah. Well, I love you, boys, and thank you again. I appreciate you guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Much love. Later, boys.
Love you. Peace. Guys.